Well, I wasn't expecting to be here this evening, but the priest who was lined up wasn't able to at the last second come, so it was a little bit of a challenge, but I've been on two airplanes to get back here tonight to be with you. And on the second one of these, I was with my brothers for kind of a long weekend. We've never been together as adults, just the guys together. And really special days that we had together for all of us. And it continued on with one of my brothers. We flew together. He's a real experienced traveler, knows how to do this stuff, and figured out how I could get here. And we're sitting opposite each other on the aisle on the plane, and he was reading a book and I was reading a book. It never occurred to me to ask him what he was reading, and it never occurred for him to ask me what I was reading. And we're starting the descent into Cleveland, and he happened to show me the book. And the book was subtitled, How Passion Changes the Ordinary into the Extraordinary. It's a kind of a small book and a motivational book. My brother's a corporate leader. And then he shared with me that the executive team was assigned to read this particular work. He didn't seem all that excited about it, but he was reading it anyways. And so I asked him, you know, the subtitle is How Passion Changes Ordinary into Extraordinary. I said, well, what is passion? What is passion? What does that mean? And it led to us having this spirited conversation across the aisle. And it wasn't until many minutes had gone by when both of us kind of realized how animated we were in the discussion and how many rows were listening to this conversation. The priest in 16C and the corporate executive in 16D. And the priest coming back at it with the book he was reading, which is happened to be Matthew Kelly's latest, Rediscovering Jesus. The priest trying to give depth and substance to the book that the corporate leader was reading, which wasn't altogether wrong, but it was just incomplete. Because if passion is just about a level of commitment, and if that commitment is only about performance, and if you don't perform, you leave, that doesn't seem really transformational to me. And it led to a beautiful conversation between brothers about deeper realities, which I wish were conversations that always happened between the Nuss brothers. But I have to say, it was a most unusual conversation, not only in its location, but even in its depth. Because we speak really easily about football and baseball and other sports and politics, some aspects of religion, but this was one of those conversations that kind of delved a whole lot deeper. What does it mean to have passion? What does it mean for the ordinary to be changed into the extraordinary? How do we bring that about in our own lives? And how do we bring that about in the lives of those whom we encounter? And we both agreed that we can't make passion happen in anybody. It's got to be something that you want and something that you seek. And for believers, it's something for which we request. And when we request it of God, when we pray, we absolutely should expect those prayers to be answered. From the Christian point of view, it's not about merely commitment. It's not about performance in terms of a bottom line. But the word passion, passio, means suffering. And there's a double connection, a connection to the kind of capital P passion of our Lord, suffering, death, and resurrection. And that this transformation of ordinary to extraordinary, it comes about when we deny ourselves. When we forego something good that we would normally enjoy for the sake of something that's better. For the sake of something that's better for someone else. That transformation can take place when we ourselves are living sacrificially.
not driven relentlessly for a bottom line performance,
but recognizing that the needs of others are superior to my own, and that God puts us into situations to help bring that benefit about in others. In the gospel reading, the main figure in the story, the blind man, marginalized on the side of the road. He's not a part of the conversation that's going on in popular culture. He's been marginalized. He's been devalued. He doesn't have the skill set. He's blind. He's limited. He's not as important. So says the culture. And he's crying out to Jesus. And people are telling him to be quiet. A blind beggar by the side of the road who's simply calling out to Jesus from the bottom of his heart is told by those who have all of their faculties and resources to be quiet. What's going on with that? What kind of a threat did this blind beggar provide for those who were without disability? That gets a little personal for me, because there are times when I wish not to hear certain things from certain ones myself, because it unnerves me, strikes a chord. Maybe it calls me out a little bit. And the request is to see. Now the irony, of course, is the blind man is the one in the story who has vision. He understands the spiritual realities that are at play in ordinary experience. He already understands the passion that brings about the change from ordinary to extraordinary. He has vision, though he doesn't have physical sight. And the ones who have physical sight in the story at the end of Mark chapter 10, vision is absent. Passion is absent. They're about preservation, preserving a privileged spot that they think they have in the moment, and trying to keep everyone else at bay from taking what they think they possess, which of course is an illusion itself. What a powerful prayer. Lord, I want to see. I want to see. I want to see how passion can bring about changes in my ordinary experience. I want to see how your passion makes all of the difference in my ordinary living. I want to see how your holy passion is at play in the lives of others so that it can inspire me to a greater depth of living. And you know, when you pray like that, truly extraordinary things always happen. I gotta tell you, these brothers of mine, they took me golfing to courses that had alligators. I don't know what to think about that. My one brother kept telling me to back up further and further, closer to the water. And there were alligators out sunning. I'm not making this up. Let's stand.